John Mice here with InfoBusinessUniversity.com, and in today's training, I'm going to teach you how to craft an upsell funnel. I'm going to go into the background, what is an upsell funnel, why an upsell funnel works, what are some scenarios where we would or would not use an upsell funnel, and then I'm going to talk about what kinds of products would we put into this upsell funnel, maybe the first upsell, if it's two or three. What types of products would go into those? I'm going to talk about what kind of pages to use. We're going to talk about pricing. We're going to talk about a few different pricing models and give you something to work with there, et cetera, et cetera. Really dig into some details. So let's kind of quantify what is an upsell funnel, especially as it pertains to what I'm teaching here. So clearly defined, an upsell funnel is a funnel where we have some type of an upsell immediately after a purchase. So, for example, you make a purchase, or your prospect or subscriber makes a purchase, and as soon as they've purchased or before they've finished purchasing, they'll receive an option to upgrade their order or to buy something else. So I want to differentiate an upsell funnel from a sales funnel. So the vernacular that I use when I'm thinking of a sales funnel, I'm thinking of, let's just say, three products, product one, product two, and product three. Product one, you buy it, you consume it, you studied it, you're done with it, you've learned everything you can. 2 weeks later, we make an offer for product two, and then maybe you buy product two, you buy it, you use it, you consume it. 2 weeks later, maybe the third thing is, boy, you've done all this training now, you really could use some accountability, you really could use some help, some personal help. Maybe product three is actually a coaching program. So the sales funnel is sort of the broad overview of what happens over time as people go through your campaigns, that type of thing. When we're thinking about upsells, we're thinking about right now, you purchased right now, and we're going to give you an opportunity to purchase one more thing or two more things or three more things right now. Okay. Sometimes this can get confusing and there's some bleed over because you may know that if someone doesn't buy right now, that maybe you put it into your sales funnel to be presented 2 weeks later. And so for the purposes of this conversation, if we put it in the sales funnel, it's now part of the sales funnel. So we're really just going to focus on the upsell funnel, and that upsell is going to occur literally within minutes of the purchase. So we've kind of defined what it is. Let's talk about why. As I discuss why, I'm going to dig into when it might be a good idea not to have an upsell funnel. So first of all, we'll start with why would you, and then we'll poke some holes in it and say, these are some scenarios where you wouldn't. So what happens is, let's say someone's been on your email list for 3 weeks. They've been reading your emails. They've been building trust. They are like you. I mean, let's face it. If somebody's been on your email list every day, they're reading email every day, and they click the buy button on your, let's say, $97 training program, they like you. If they don't like you, you're the only person in the market that has exactly what they're looking for. But for most of you, you're probably in a market where you have some competition. And that means if somebody's buying from you instead of the competition, there's something that they like about you. Now, I want to contrast this to someone who buys on day one. They've never met you before. They're recommended by someone else. You send them some advertising, and they see your product, and it teaches them how to do these eight things. If they buy on that day, they don't know you, so they may not like you. In that case, they're buying because of the components of that particular program. In either case, you've got someone who has made a decision right now to invest with you, And the odds are they want more or need more in their life than just what it is that you're offering today. So, for example, let's use the crocheting niche, for example. We could use any niche, but we'll just use one I'm not involved in, okay? I don't know anything about the crocheting niche. But my guess is, you know, if there's a few million crocheters, you know, just in my country and then all around the world, I mean, the crochet market probably has enough business to support a million people paying $39 a month or something like that among the multiple competitors out there in the crochet market. So if you fully developed your business, maybe you have a beginner crochet program, you have an intermediate, you have a crochet program that teaches people how to make sweaters, you've got a crochet program that teaches people how to make dolls, you have a crochet program that teaches people how to make shoes, you have another crochet program that teaches advanced stitches. They can do seashells, and maybe there's a dining room, what do they call them, like a tablecloth crochet program. And if somebody comes to your website and they're looking to maybe make a vest, and they buy your crochet vest pattern, now that's what they may have come to your website for. But let's face it, they're a crocheter. And that means they might also be interested in a sweater pattern. They might be interested in a doll pattern. They might be interested in getting a collection of 1,000 patterns. They might be interested in the dining room tablecloth pattern. Now, they didn't come to you wanting that, but they still might want it. It's sort of like when we go to a fast food restaurant. We go in there, we're hungry, and we order a burger and fries. That's what we think we want for lunch. We want a burger and fries. We haven't really thought about drinking anything. In fact, you know, I carry around a quart of water in one of those little quart things you buy from the sports store. And so a lot of times, if we go through a drive-through and pick up some food, we may not order a drink because we've got the water right here. But if the person at the drive-through says, hey, would you like to add a soda to that? I might even say, no, I've got water right here. And then the drive-through person says, hey, we've got a brand new flavor. It's this strawberry watermelon. It's really good. You want to try it for a dollar? I think she's got a pretty good shot that I'm going to buy it. And I was not in the market for strawberry watermelon. I didn't even know it existed. It's the same thing. Someone comes to your crochet website. They're in the market for a vest. They don't know that you do tablecloths. But once you give them maybe the opportunity to also buy a tablecloth pattern, then they may say, okay, you know what, I'll buy that too. That's really the spirit of an upsell. The spirit of an upsell is to say, you came to my website wanting one thing, but because of the fact that you want this one thing, I surmise there's a good chance that you may like other things that you don't even know that you need. Okay, now, I want to talk about a type of an upsell, two other types of upsells. So right now we've talked about upsell where you're going to get an additional like item. Once again, we have crochet story here, we have fast food. Let's just say that you're shopping for clothes and you go into the suit store. I go into a suit store and all I want is a shirt. I just need a shirt. All my shirts are in dry cleaning and, well, I need a clean shirt to wear tonight. And so I go, I just want a shirt. So I go in there and I pick a shirt out. The guy is, if he knows what he's doing, he's going to ask me. In fact, before he even asks me, he's going to go select three or four ties that look really good with this shirt. And he's going to come over and say, hey, I've picked out a few ties that will go with this shirt. If you like, try one of them. Now, I think I've had almost exactly the same scenario happen where I've said something like, you know what, I've got a whole bunch of ties at home. I'm sure one of them will match this shirt. What's he going to say? He's going to say, but you don't know, do you? Do you really want to come back in an hour? Or do you want to take a chance they're going to wear a mismatched tie tonight? And I'm going to roll my eyes and I'm going to say, all right, you win. Which one of these ties do I like the best? Then I'm going to buy one of the ties. And that we've upsold. He's upsold me. We've doubled the size of the order. And I want you to notice that there's goodwill involved in this. I think that there's a negative tone that's associated sometimes with upsells because of some of the things that go on in the industry, and I'm going to share what some of those are and kind of talk about them. I want this to be complete here. There should be a good feeling about an upsell. There should be a good feeling about adding on something good, adding on that dining room pattern to the vest, adding on the tie to the shirt. You know, adding on a strawberry watermelon drink to my burger and fries. This should feel good. When I get done, it should feel like, you know, I'm really glad that I made that decision. Now, there's a few other patterns that sometimes we see in the marketplace, and I want to talk about those patterns. So far, we've talked about a complementary item, something that complements the first item. Or that is something that we just simply know that if you buy this, you probably want that. A couple of things that happen in the marketplace is that sometimes folks will sell an incomplete item and then offer to upsell you the complete item. I'm not fond of that. I really don't. I don't like that. Okay, now, there's all kinds of shades of that. I mean, the way that I just shared it with you, it just sounds wrong. And I think that it is, if it's exactly what I just shared. Yeah, I think that's wrong. You sell something that's incomplete. It would be like going to the automobile dealership and saying, you know, I'd like to buy a car. And they say, okay, great, I've got half a car here. You want to buy the half a car? As soon as you pay for it, I'll offer you to sell you the rest of the half of the car. I don't like that. I don't like that. But there are shades of that are related, and I want to address them. And so what we see with those shades are is you buy a basic unit of something, and then you're offered, or you offer your prospects, a more advanced unit of something. Okay? Now, if we had a continuum where on the left of the continuum you're really dealing with something that is incomplete, and then the upgrade completes it, and the other end of the spectrum is you're buying something that's completely complete, but you're upgrading to an advanced version of it. You're upgrading to an advanced version of it. This might be when you go into the coffee shop and you say, hey, I'd like to buy a coffee. And they say, hey, would you like to have a premium coffee with lots of sugar and caramel syrup in it so it tastes better than a regular coffee? And you say, yes. So that would be the type of upgrade where you go from something that's basic to something that's more advanced. In the information world, I'm not even crazy about that. And I'm not even crazy about that because here's what it looks like. Let's say that you sell a training. Let's use another niche. Let's say you're in the swimming market and you sell a training to teach someone how to swim. And then the upsell is the advanced program to learning how to swim. And this may be a bad example because I think that there's a place for beginner, intermediate, advanced. But we'll play with this anyway. I really want this, folks, I really want you to be in a place where you're kind of stretching your mind and not just accepting, okay, there's one way to do upsells because that's how I've seen it. And I don't like them because I've seen the bad ones. Or I really like them because I've seen the good ones, but I don't know how to do a good one. I really want you to be able to think about this, and I want you to be able to decide what you want to do. I don't want it to be I'm telling you what the good and the bad ones are. I'll tell you what I don't like. So let's kind of scratch the swimming one, because I kind of like the swimming one. There's a beginner course. You know it's a beginner course. It's labeled as a beginner course. The website maybe tells you that we have three courses. You're buying the beginner one. But then when you get to the checkout page, it says, hey, do you for special deal, do you want to buy the intermediate and advanced one as well? I think that's fine too. What I think sometimes trips folks up is they purchase something that does not indicate that it's beginner or anything like that. It says, hey, I'm going to teach you to swim. And then the upsell is, I'm going to teach you to swim, but better. just doesn't feel good to your prospect because it makes them feel like if they don't get it, what they've gotten is incomplete. So they've only made half a purchase, like buying half the car. I'm not fond of that type of an upsell. And again, I'm splitting a fine line between that type of an upsell and one that says, hey, there's three levels. There's beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Do you want to buy all three? I believe that there's a place for that. I don't know that it's necessarily always going to work best that way. You know, with the swimming, you may sell, let's use that as an example. Maybe you have an instructional program for swimming. I think, personally, a better upsell might be, hey, you just bought the how to swim training program. We have partnered with someone that teaches you how to get in swim fitness by doing certain ab exercises and lat exercises, et cetera, et cetera. Would you also like to purchase the swim fitness training program? So to me, that's complementary. It's something that fits well. But if someone says, no, I don't want it, they don't leave with the feeling that they only bought half of something. I hope that's making sense. And I'm hoping that these differentiations are making sense. If they're not fully, give it some thought. And really think about what would feel like a natural progression in your niche versus something that you're kind of having to create the initial training in such a way that people will want to buy the second one. I'm not big on that. I believe you create the initial product, and then you ask, once it's completed and done, then you ask, okay, now what's complementary? What can we add to this? What can be an upgrade? What can be an upsell, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, now, by the way, I'm not saying that once you've got some experience with this that you won't be able to look at the entire funnel and say, here's what we're going to create. I'm really beating this issue home because I believe it's extremely important that what we sell on the front end is complete without any of the other bells and whistles. You know, another way that we can do an upsell is we can sell something that teaches how to do it on the front end, but then we have a do it for you on the back end. So we have how to do it on the front end, but the back end is I'll do it for you. And so maybe you sell a training program that teaches people. Let's say it teaches people, teaches you how to clean your house. Okay, so it teaches you how to clean your house. And let's say that you're marketing to a local market. Teaches you how to clean your house, but then the upsell is we'll come to your house and clean it for you. Again, it's a really bad example in the information marketing world. Okay, but the idea is that this is how to clean your house. The upsell is I'll clean it for you. Sometimes we might see that online, let's say dog training. Here's a video that teaches you how to do it. The upsell is I'll come to your house and do it for you. Maybe, let's just say you're in the internet marketing niche. I sell you training that teaches you how to build a blog, but then for an additional X number of dollars, I'll do it for you. And so many times in your niche, you can have something where you teach people how to do it, and then the upsell is, I'll do it for you. Here's another upsell. The front end is how to do it, and the back is, I'll walk you step by step. We'll talk every single week. You'll have email access. We'll use chat service, whatever, so that you can ask me questions while you're doing whatever it is. I hope that you're getting a flavor of what the upsells could be. Okay, now. A lot of times we think of an upsell as being something we just do once. We have one upsell. We could have multiple upsells. Let's go back to the swimming example. Let's say we teach swimming. The first training is a beginner training. The upsell is intermediate plus advanced for a special discount. So when you walk away, you'll have the entire training program. But then after they purchase the intermediate and advanced, now we can come back and say, hey, we've partnered with somebody who's an expert in fitness, and they are going to teach you how to get into utmost swimming fitness shape. So that's the second upsell. Now, notice that the second upsell is related primarily to the first one. It's not necessarily related to the first sale, although it could be. So now that they've purchased fitness for swimming, what do we know about this person? This person's interested in fitness. Could we then upsell them a fitness for everything? So maybe we have a business, or we can partner with someone who has a fitness program for horseback riding, a fitness program for skiing, a fitness program for snowboarding, everything. So swimming, lacrosse, horseback, everything. So now we say the upsell is, you can get my entire library, not just for swimming, but for 49 other sports. And then each season, as you're doing a different sport, you just pull out the training for that particular season. But that might be an additional upsell. Let's get crazy with this and say, if somebody purchases that upsell, that's all of this fitness training, what could they maybe also be interested in? Maybe they're interested in losing weight. Maybe they're interested in eating better. So we have the opportunity to stack multiple upsells. We don't have to do them. Again, I'm wanting to present this to you very much in such a way that you recognize you have many options. You can have one upsell. You can have two upsells. You can have five upsells. You know, whatever the case is, whatever feels natural with whatever it is that you're selling. Okay, now, is there a time to not do an upsell? Yeah, I think there's a time to not do an upsell. I use upsells sometimes. I don't use upsells other times. Is there a time to not use an upsell? I think the number one time to not use an upsell is when you don't have anything to upsell that truly complements it. You know, if you've got something that just doesn't fit and you just try to force an upsell, odds are it's not going to convert anyway. But, you know, let's face it. If we want our campaign to be congruent all the way through, the upsell needs to be congruent. You see, if you're building a long-term business, my business is a long-term business. You buy email training this week, you study it. Now you want to learn how to write sales letters, you study that. Now you want to get traffic, you study that. So you buy a training program for each one of those things, you know, and then you join a coaching program and you study under me for 2 years. And so maybe I release a new book, you go buy the book. I want a long-term relationship. I'm not interested in, you know, something quick that says, you know, buy my product, buy the upsell, and then I don't care how incongruent it is because I'm never going to talk to you again. In fact, I want you to consume what I have, and I want you to keep coming back, just like a restaurant. You know, if there's a restaurant in your neighborhood, if they're going to do well, they want you back. They want you to bring your friends. They want you to have a good experience today, and then they also want you to have a good experience down the road so you'll keep coming back. Well, that's how it is in my business. I believe that's how it should be in your business. And so the question is, if we don't have anything that fits, anything that's congruent, I say don't do an upsell. Don't do one. Another place to not do an upsell is when you put an upsell in place and it doesn't convert. You put an upsell in place and only 2% of the people that buy the first item buy the second one. What does this tell you? Number one, you could get that same 2% by just sending an email later in the week. So you don't need a moment of the purchase upsell. What does it also tell us? It tells us that 98 people are having to say no thank you. I mean, that's pretty big. 98% of people are saying, no, this is not for me. You see, there's a trade-off. For the 20% or 30% that buy the upsell and say, yes, this would be a good value, you've got 70% that are, or 80% that are saying, no, this would not be a good value for me, and they're having to make a no vote on you, and especially if you have multiple upsells and they're having to make multiple no votes by the time they get to your download page, they're not as excited about studying the material. Now, you could hear me say what I just said and say, okay, well, if there's going to be any kind of negativeness going to be associated with this, I just won't do any upsells. And I think that that's kind of, you know, that's making a premature judgment, although we all have to have a value call on where we're going to be on the continuum. Let's talk about the financial aspects of upsells. And actually, before I do that, let me go back to this last idea. we want to have a balance. We really want to have a balance. We don't want to have an upsell that only 2% are responding to and 98% are feeling like by the time they get to the download page that they're not as excited about the initial training. If that's the case, you could not have an upsell and just send an email out selling the next thing a week later, and you probably get 2%. But at the same time, we recognize that that having the upsell in place is going to create some friction in the order, but as long as we minimize that friction, the percentage of people are buying, in the long run, we're able to help more people. And let me explain to you why. It's going to take a moment because we're going to kind of go around the corner here. I want you to imagine that in your market, and I'm not going to talk about where your prospects come from, you know, whether they come from somebody else's website or you get them from a search engine or whatever. There's a cost involved in getting people to your website. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, it costs you $1 per person to your website. Okay, now, in the real world, you're going to have an email campaign, so we're really going to be talking about subscriber value. We're going to be talking about long-term. We're just going to have a really simple world here, kind of like in beginning economics. They teach you a very small world where you're trading apples for oranges and you're understanding economics through a very small world, but that's not a realistic world. Same thing here. We're going to talk about a non-realistic world, but I want the picture to come through. Costs you $1 a piece to get somebody to the website. Out of every 100 people that buy, that every 100 people that come to your website, 10 people buy at $10. So you're just breaking even. The question is, how long can you be in business just breaking even? I mean, you know, unless you're just totally philanthropic, it won't last very long. You can't break even forever. I mean, theoretically you could, but I mean, at some point, you just say, you know what, if I can't make any money in this, I'm going to have to move on, maybe make it into a charity or something. So let's say that you have something really cool that can benefit the world. Whatever it is that you're doing, by the way, it should be cool. You shouldn't be doing it. It should be cool. It should impact the world. It should change lives. Well, the truth of the matter is that if you can only make $0 on whatever your idea is, you're not going to be able to really impact a lot of people. Because you can't work for free unless you're just totally doing the whole charity thing. And that's a whole different container here. So what this means is that if you can only break even, you're not going to be able to help as many people in the world. But if you could put an upsell in place that allowed you to generate $150 for every $100 you invested, and you could make a 50% profit, or 33%, depending on how you draw the spreadsheet. But if you can add 50% to your bottom line, if you can bring home a profit of 50% every single day, you invest $100 and you bring in $150. So you take, and then the second day you're able to do the same thing. Now you could share your message with 1,000 people a day or 2,000 people a day because you're in profit. And if you're not in profit, you can't help as many people. And if you're in more profit, you can help more people. You know, you think about something popular, you know, and I don't want to name anything, but if you'll just think about something popular in the world that, you know, lots of people have them over the last few years. People have gone out and bought hundreds, you know, millions of people are buying a certain thing, and it's a really helpful thing. And but in order to sell it, they're advertising on television, they're doing infomercials, they're buying email lists, they're doing lots of advertising. This is a really cool thing that can change the world, but the truth of the matter is if they couldn't make a profit, then they couldn't afford to advertise and they can change the world. The truth of the matter is an upsell can help you change the world if it changes your profit mechanism. Now, remember, this is not all about the money. That's why I talked about, it's one reason why we talked about the upsell and the why and what's valuable about an upsell first. You should only be doing an upsell if it's valuable. But once we've established that it's valuable, there's a financial point to that upsell that really allows you to leverage your expertise, help more people on down the road, help more people on. Okay, so let's just say that you have a $10 item and you have an upsell that's $50, Maybe the intro item is, you know, let's go back to swimming, the breaststroke. So there's a 10-minute video for $10, teaches you the breaststroke. You buy that, you say, hey, for $50, you can get 50 videos that teach you all of the other, it teaches you all of the other swimming techniques. For $50, you get all the techniques. $10, you get one technique. Probably a lousy example, but that's okay. We'll run with it. And so, initially, you're driving traffic, all the piece to your website. 10 out of every 100 people buy it. $10, that's $100 you break even. But let's say that 2 of those people will buy your $50 upsell. Now you generate, out of the 10 buyers, you're going to generate 2 more buyers. 2 of those buyers are going to buy at $50 additionally. You'll generate $200 instead of $100. You're doubling your money every time you run this. This allows you to literally tell the whole world about your swimming program, and you can change people's lives. It's the easiest swimming program in the world. You can really change people's lives. Now, obviously, the other side is you can make more money. If you make more money, it allows you to create more training on down the road. If you're not making any money, you have to keep working your day job, and you're only going to be able to make one video a month or whatever. If you can make a real living by doubling your revenue on that front end, it allows you to perhaps quit your day job and spend your time. You can create a coach program. You can create a membership where you can really deliver true value to people, more than just a box of videos. So you'll notice that the monetization allows our business to grow. And that's one of the reasons that the upsell is so powerful. Okay, I want to review. We've kind of talked, I gave you a bunch of examples, but now I want to give you some ideas for each one of the upsells in line. Okay? Remember, we talked about the fact that the first upsell is going to either be complementary, so it'll be something that they might want additionally. It might be a similar topic. It might be more of the same. So like the breaststroke video, there's one video on a breaststroke, but you can get 50 videos and you can learn, you know, I don't know what all, you know, the frog crawl and all the other swimming types of things. Let's say that you're in karate and you have a video that teaches punching. Well, you could have a whole set of videos that teaches kicking and core and all of those types of things. So that first upsell is going to be something that's complementary, or it's going to be something that does it for you, or it's going to be something that makes doing whatever the first thing was easier. So we really think of that second one as complementing the first one. The second upsell, is going to make the first upsell easier or do it for you or additional packages, et cetera, that's complementary to the first upsell. So they're going to build on each other. And then the third one could also build, or it could be something different. Remember, I gave you the earlier example where somebody buys your swimming course, but you partner with a fitness coach that you give folks a special upgrade deal if they get the fitness for swimming program as well. Now, if they buy that, then they might want the 50 sports package that is sports-specific fitness for 50 different sports. And so now we really could stack 4 upsells, and it'd be something that feels fairly natural. Okay, let's talk about what's our upsell sales page going to look like. You know, obviously we're not kind of showing screenshots here. These things change over time, you know, based on, you know, a lot of times sales pages and looks of things change with the ages. You know, we come out with new software, people like new colors, and the look of websites is sort of like fashion. And it changes every few years. But one of the things that we find is a constant for upsells is that it's a short sales letter. It's not a long sales letter. The initial sales letter might be 10 pages long to tell you why you need to buy the beginner swimming program or the 3 basic swimming strokes program. The upsell, though, is going to be really simple. Wait. just because you've purchased the introductory three basic swimming strokes training program, I've decided to put together a phenomenal program with all 52 swimming strokes, full videos. It's going to show you absolutely everything, and maybe there's a price decline. It's normally $47, but because you just purchased, or it's normally $97, because you just purchased the three basic swimming strokes, we're going to slash the price in half, and you can get it right now. You'll notice how short this is. The reason we want it short is, let's go back. The long sales letter had to do more than just tell them what the points were. It had to tell them why we were best qualified to be their swimming instructor. We had to build trust. We had to build up the price and the value. There's so much that we had to do. But once they pulled out their credit card, they've made that purchase. They trust you. They know who you are. They believe in you. Their credit card is still out. On and on and on. We don't need to resell them on ourselves. We don't need to tell them how wonderful it is to learn swimming from video. We don't need to do all of those other things, so we just leave it all out. You see, there's an emotional buying place that happens when someone has just made a purchase. They're really excited about making the purchase. And when people are excited, they tend to buy more. If we make them read another 10-page sales letter, it's like we've got to start all over again reselling them. They'll lose their excitement as they read the 10-page sales letter. But if it's a half a page, kind of like what I just gave you, we're still in the excitement of the moment. It's a great deal. And maybe in addition to what I just gave you, add the bullet points. These are the 52 swimming strokes you're going to learn, et cetera, et cetera. So we may tell them a little bit about it. It's not a big sales letter. The first sale is made with all of the information up front, fully selling on our trust, our credibility, what's going to be in the program. The next one, we're selling it, we're going to leverage the emotion and the excitement that went into that first purchase, and we want to make that happen quickly. It's kind of like when you go through that drive-thru and, you know, in order for you to go to the fast food, you saw an advertisement, you know that they're there, you've eaten there before, you trust it, you've never gotten a stomach ache. There's always trust that happens before you drive through the drive-thru. But once you've driven through the drive-thru and you've ordered the hamburger and you've ordered the fries, you don't need to rebuild all that trust. You're right there in the moment, you're pulling out your wallet, and the person on the other end of that microphone says, hey, would you like to add a drink to that? But seriously, that's how simple it should be. That's how your upsell should be. Hey, would you like to add XYZ to that? That's it. It's just that simple. Our multiple upsells will be exactly the same way. If you buy the first one, then we will present you with the second one and the third one and the fourth one or just the one. It doesn't matter. Okay, now, there's two pathways that we can follow. One pathway is to say that we have the three upsells, and the only way that you're supposed to upsell two is if you buy upsell one. Okay, now, this is the cleanest pathway. This really says that if you don't buy the first one, for you, it's only a one upsell. You don't have to scroll through three upsell pages. It's the cleanest. It's the easiest. It's the most efficient pattern. And then only people who have bought the first upsell will be exposed to the second one. Only people exposed to the second will buy the third one. And that makes a lot of sense. However, what we find is, let's go through that swimming example again. So the first thing you bought was three strokes. The second one is 50 more swimming strokes. That's the first upsell. The second upsell is fitness swimming. And the third upsell is fitness for every sport you can imagine. And so it makes sense that if somebody buys the first upsell, they might be interested in the second one. But what if we have someone who buys, does not want the first upsell? They bought the three strokes, but they said, no, I don't want 50 more. I really need to go into the pool and learn these three first. But could that person be a candidate to purchase the fitness for swimming? I think they're a great candidate. Okay, now, I don't want to go through another example, but imagine I'm putting together an upsell funnel and I get to this question. I'm asking the question, could this be a good fit? And this is obviously a good fit. What if I say no, upsell 2 is really not a good fit? If you don't buy upsell 1, upsell 2 doesn't make sense. Then we certainly would not have upsell 2 going to someone who's not already purchased upsell 1. But in this case, I think it's a good opportunity. And so then we can say if you don't buy upsell 1, you're still going to get presented with upsell 2. Now, let's say that you don't buy upsell 2. What was upsell 3? Upsell 3 was fitness for 50 different sports. Well, what do we know about somebody that's wanting to learn swimming? I mean, I think there's probably a good chance that they're involved in some kind of sports. I mean, you don't normally have people come up off of their couch and go, I'm going to learn how to swim this year, if they never do any other kinds of sports. You know, if they don't do any kind of fitness, they don't do anything. They don't hike, they don't ski, they don't snowboard, they don't walk. They're probably not going to just jump off the couch and say, I'm going to start swimming next year. Could happen. So what do we know about somebody who's wanting to learn swimming? They probably do something else. They probably hike or ski or snowboard or walk or run or ride horseback or something. And so maybe they don't want the swimming fitness because they don't know how to swim yet. I mean, that's logic. We have to think about the logic of how people are thinking from an emotional perspective when we're building something like this. But maybe they're struggling with their fitness in their skiing, their horseback riding, and their running. And presented with upsell 3, which is a complete encyclopedia of these different sports, would upsell 3 not be a good fit? I think that it would be. You know, once again, if we recognize that the third upsell would not be a good fit unless you bought the second one, then we wouldn't give people that option. Okay? So we really have to think through these. Now, the rubber meets the road in the campaign. You've got to look at conversion rates. Just because I think that these things will convert well at these points doesn't mean they will in the real world. And if they don't, we want to pull an upsell offer out that's not converting well. Or we can work on the sales copy, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're following the rules here, if you're keeping it short and sweet, if there's nothing goofy on your page and all your upsells are converting except for one, something's wrong there. Something seriously wrong. Now, let's talk about pricing. There's probably a bunch of theories on pricing for upsells. I'm going to share with you two. One theory is that you take the first item, let's say you sell it for $100. If you have something that's just really so much better than the first one, let's say for $100 you got the 3 swimming strokes, what would it be worth? That's $33 a piece. What would it be worth to have all 50? At $33 a piece, it'd be $1,500. And so the theory is, and this works in the real world, if you've got the right upsell, for 4 or 5 times the price of the initial item, we can oftentimes get 15, 20% conversion. But what that means is that if I sell a $100 item and 20% of people buy the upsell for $80, or 20% of the people, I'm doing the math ahead, 20% buy at $400, so every 5th person buys at $400, that's an average of $80 per person. So instead of making $100 per sale, on average, you make $180. That's one way to do the upsell funnel. And then upsell 2 could be something that's 4 times the price of the first one. And then some percentage of the people that bought the $400 will buy the $1,600. So that's one way to do it. If you've got the right upsells in place, that can be powerful, especially in terms of the revenue in your pocket. You know, a lot of times with numbers like that, if the upsells are really powerful, you can oftentimes double or triple whatever your front end is. So if I make $100 a sale, with the upsells, I'm at $250 or $300 a sale, for example. But remember, I'm in this business for the long run. When you're going to know what that long run is. Now, If the long run is a $20,000 seminar, then moving people from 100 to 400 to 1600 makes a lot of sense. But let's say instead I want to optimize people going into a low-cost membership. I want all my buyers, as many as possible, to want to enroll in a membership and stay there forever. Now, what I might want to do is optimize the number of people that take the upsell. So now, instead of optimizing for the dollars, optimize for the number of people that take the upsell. So now I might say, okay, instead of making the 50 swimming videos $500 or $400, I'm just going to make it $100. You were willing to make a $100 investment for three videos, you get the next 50 for $100 more. On something like that, if it's positioned correctly, you might get 40, 50, 60% of people to buy that first item. Now, the revenue is less, because on average, you say 40% conversion on $100 adds a $40 average revenue. So you add that to your $100, you're only at $140 instead of $180. The revenue is on the side, but out of every 100 buyers, you've got 40 people that have proven upsell buyers. A percentage of those may go on to buy something else in the funnel. And here's where it really gets interesting. Maybe you say, okay, if you've already pulled out your wallet twice, the next item is going to be something that's so powerful that I'm going to be able to double or triple the price, make it $200 or $300, and now still get an additional 30 or 40% on that next one because we're converting to people who are already strong upsell converters. Okay? Now, you can look at this from a lot of different perspectives. I've just given you a couple of different examples here of pricing, but if you do the math on it, you realize there's many things we can do. We can have three or four upsells in a row that are all exactly the same price. We can have one upsell that's the same price, the next one's three times as much, the next one's double. That's going to kind of maximize conversion rates. What's going to maximize dollars in your pocket? Well, dollars in your pocket might be maximized by having some higher prices in the funnel, as I shared with you earlier. Now, you may find you make more money by having a lower price, higher conversion rate anyway. So, again, this has to be subject to real-world testing. You know, and if we were talking one-on-one or something like that, and I was able to take your particular offer and say, you know, that looks like something it could sell at two times, et cetera, you know, then we could really, really drill into exactly what's going to work exactly for you. I've given you so many examples today of the various upsell funnels. The pricing, I've given you the two big models, and then from there you're going to have to say, hey, what feels good for me? Put some testing in place. What converts best? What gets my long-term result? Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Okay. I've given you the psychology behind this. I've given you the many options of what can work, and I've been very careful. I didn't want this training to come across as there's one way to do it, and you've got to do it my way, or it doesn't work. There's many ways to do it, and I haven't even shared all of them. I've shared with you a lot of the most popular paths. You've got to determine what feels good to you, what makes good sense to people that are buying. If you're doing a lot of volume, you really ought to be split testing and finding out what works and what works at what price points, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, on this training, I'm not teaching you all the technical aspects of doing this. I'm expecting if you're listening to this training, you already know how to create pages and how to link them together and all of those types of things. So that's outside the scope of this training. But I do want to share one or two parts here, just some technical issues. And that is, how do we make this upsell campaign flow? There's two things that are important. One thing that's important is that if somebody buys your item, they've got to see this upsell sales page. If they don't see it, they'll never buy. And so what that means is that as soon after they purchase as possible, you want them to have an opportunity to read the sales letter. And what we typically do in the industry is at the very bottom of the upsell sales letter, there's a link that goes to where someone could download whatever they purchased. So The idea is that they'll read the sales letter, they'll come to the end, they'll say, no, I don't want it, and then they'll click on the link to go to the download. Okay, now, if we do it that way, it works. It's effective. But a percentage of people will become a customer service ticket because, especially if they're not in kind of the internet marketing space. I mean, you're hearing me and you really understand how the upsell works. And you know how it is. You buy something, you scroll down to the bottom, hit the download link, it goes to another sales page, you scroll to the bottom, click. But in your market, you know, if you're in the swimming market or the karate market or the crochet market, you may be dealing with a market that doesn't know how it works. And so what happens is if that download page is smuggled down at the bottom of that upsell page, you're going to get some customer service tickets that come in that say, hey, I can't find the download. And if they spend 20 minutes looking for it, they're pretty irritated by the time that customer service complaint comes in. You get some hate mail. What I've discovered almost completely eliminates the hate mail is I put the link at the top of the page, and that way they can go to the download immediately if they want to, and they can also read the sales letter. There's pros and cons with both sides of this. There's pros and cons with both sides of this. The pro side is if we put that link at the top, it almost completely eliminates customer service issues. But it does decrease the conversion rate on that upsell page. So the question is, we have to weigh this. Are we willing to have the customer service tickets? Are we willing to pay someone to answer them very quickly and solve the problems? Or do we want to maximize the upsell rate? And that's a decision you have to make. Now, if we think outside the box, we can say, okay, if the problem is people are not getting to the download fast enough, is there a different way that we could get it to them and still not put it at the top of the page? One of the things that I've discovered is that if you'll set your autoresponder, your merchant account, your autoresponder, so that they immediately get an email to their inbox that has a direct link to the download page, not a link to the upsell page, a direct link to the download page, I feel that that significantly reduces customer service issues. Because in order for them to send you the customer service email, they have to go into their email box, and when they go to their email box, they will see the download email, they'll click on it, they'll get the download, and now you have no customer service complaint. Okay, so there's a few different ways you can work around this, and again, this is the complete kind of training. It's deeper than an overview. I hope you believe that as we've gone through here, but I could probably spend 10 or 15 hours getting into all the nuancing of how to do this. I'm giving you something I think is pretty key and important here. Well, you've got to decide how much customer service am I willing to risk? How easy do I want people to get to the link? But if you'll send them an email right away and automate that email or automate it so they get two emails, it's going to be absolutely amazing how much of that customer service you cut down and you keep the upsell conversion rate pretty high. Okay, now, I gave you an illustration just now where the link at the bottom would go to the download page. But I want you to imagine that link on the bottom instead goes to the second upsell, and then at the end of that page, it would go to the download link. If you had three or four, same thing. They'll click through three upsell page, click on the no thanks link, upsell page, click on the no thanks link, and after the fourth one, they'll get to the download page. Okay, now, for every upsell you add, though, you're increasing your revenue, but you're increasing frustration. And you have to decide where you want that to be. You have to say, you know what, I want zero frustration, no upsells. I'm willing to tolerate a little bit of frustration, but I'm going to have one upsell. I'm willing to tolerate a little more frustration and have two upsells. You have to decide where that is. And I don't even think that you can decide that in a vacuum. I think you decide that by evaluating frustration levels. You evaluate customer service tickets. You evaluate your funnel. You evaluate how well people know you already And so it's going to be different for everybody. It's going to be different for you and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. Okay, so to summarize, we've kind of talked about building this upsell funnel. I believe it's important. I believe there's a monetary value to it. I believe that it offers service to your prospect. I believe it allows you to leverage your business so that you can help more people. We've gone through having multiple upsells. We've talked about having one. We've talked about all kinds of types of products that you could have in there, giving you a couple of different pricing models that you can follow and giving you lots of flexibility there. And then we've talked about kind of where to put the links, what kind of simple pages to have. The offers are going to be short, et cetera, et cetera. I want to end this by saying that if you do not have any upsell in place, probably leaving money on the table, and you're probably leaving long-term customers on the table. Let's imagine that you have one training program right now, and you have a membership. And you know that if someone buys into your membership, they generally stay for a long time, and you're able to help them and teach them for a long time. But maybe you have a hard time selling your membership. But what if your upsell was a free month in your membership? Which, by the way, I'm not fond of, but that'll really increase conversion rates. I'll get back to why I'm not fond on it in just a moment. But let's just say I do everything I can to maximize membership rates. I'm going to give you a free month, and I'm going to give you lots of bonuses as the upsell. And 40% of the people that buy your entry-level training program get into your membership. And it's not just about the money today. It's the fact that they're going to stay in your membership for month after month. And it's not just about the money that you're going to get month after month while they stay in the membership. It's also about the fact they're learning something every month. The truth of the matter is, if all they ever do is buy the one-time item and then never get involved in your membership, you're not going to be able to help them as much as if they get in your membership, right? I mean, your membership is really helpful, right? And so what that means is that if you have a membership that's really helpful but people are not enrolling in it, you're not able to help as many people. And so if this is a point where you can help more people, I think you're leaving money on the table. I think you're leaving helping people on the table. I think you're leaving changing lives on the table by not having something there as an upsell. And am I saying that a membership is a perfect upsell? No. I'm just giving you a specific scenario that says if you got one-time item and nothing else, and you also have a membership but you're not using it as upsell, that membership should be upsell. I would encourage you that if you only have one upsell right now, that just for kicks and grins, put a second one in for a month and see what happens. You may find you don't like it, and then you'll know, I don't like it. It's kind of like going to a new restaurant and saying, and the proprietor says, you know, we've got this new special sandwich. I believe in it so much. I know it looks ugly, but it really tastes good. If you'll buy it and you eat, if you don't like it, I'll give you lunch on the house for a month. Okay, I mean, that's a little bit extreme, but you get the idea. Try it. If you don't try this, you'll never have any idea if it doesn't work for you. You may be imagining a customer service nightmare, but you may find that most people are so excited about the opportunity to get something else that there's no customer service nightmare. I believe that if you don't have an upsell or you just have a little bit of an upsell in place, I believe you should think about adding something on. It was not intended to be part of this training, but since I mentioned it and I gave the example of a free month, free months are powerful. They get high conversion rates, and probably in the long run they make you more money because you get more people to try it out, and even though a whole bunch of people cancel, I don't like cancellations. I don't like refunds and cancellations. I'm not in the camp of you should do everything you can to maximize sales rates and it's okay to have a 10% refund. I'm not in that camp. Yes, it increases revenue. I'm not in that camp. I just don't like it. I'd much rather undersell and overdeliver, keep refunds really low. And what I know is that if I sell 100 people with a free month, you know, 30, 40% are going to cancel before that free month is over. Now, I still may have 60 people that are left or more than I would have had if I had not offered a free month. If I'd have gotten paid for that month up front, then maybe only 30 people would sign up. But I just don't want my customer service department to have to process 40 cancellations. I don't like that. I think it's a waste of time. So therefore, I don't like to put things in place that are going to yield scenarios where I know beyond a shadow of a doubt we're just going to waste a lot of time. I don't like that. Obviously, your tolerance for doing all those cancellations is greater, and you would rather maximize the revenue, then, again, we go back to this. I don't want anything I'm teaching you to be like, hey, there's only one way to do it. You've got to decide, is that what will work for you? Do you like that? One more incidental thing, I just personally, and this is just me, I find that even if somebody doesn't cancel the first month, the long-term retention is not as high if they've gotten that free month. Again, that's the version. It shouldn't be on this training. I mentioned something. I said, hey, I'd teach on it. The idea here is you want to put an upsell funnel in place if you don't already have one. I've given you everything you need to know from a psychological perspective, from a tactical perspective, and a strategic perspective to do it. And now the ball's in your court to go out there and do it. Again, this is Sean Mize with InfoBusinessUniversity.com.